Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
How about that one? How about that one? Child or child?
Which one?
I think it was child, myself, and then Nancy wants to fight her outside. Ugh.
Why take it outside? Do it in front of the
right
cameras.
There.
Let's all see
fight
it.
Fight right there. Well, that's what we're doing right now in St. Paul. So let's bring on one of our favorites, the former governor of the state, Tim Pawlenty. Like all of our guests, Tim is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Are you here in the cold weather, or are you somewhere warm?
Well, at the moment, I am in Florida, but I'm headed to Minnesota in a couple of days. I'll be back there shortly, and I understand the weather may be a little, not so hot right now, maybe getting better next week. So my timing is good.
Yeah, your timing is very good. Your timing is also good that you're not the governor right now. Let's just be honest. There's plenty of blame on all parties. Just review. Curtis Johnson shouldn't have run for office. He didn't live in the district, so he's out. We had to wait to get a ruling whether Brad Tapke won. The judge rules in his favor. But Lisa Damith on this show and elsewhere, the at least now Speaker of the House has said, I'm not sure we're going to seat him, that we have the final say. Then the Democrats, let's for sure include them, saying that, hey, we've got our leverage. We're not going to show, so you can't have a quorum. So basically, you can't start without us. Then to defy any attempts to say they didn't even show up for office on Tuesday, they had a secret swearing in on Sunday. They act like it wasn't secret. Yeah, it was secret. We know that. So there's blame on both sides. And obviously, you're Republican. Is there one side that bothers you more than the other right now?
Yes, and I know this is going to be predictable, but it's the Democrats for these two reasons, Chad. One is, regardless of the legal technicalities or, depth of the legal analysis that goes into this, there's a basic requirement for all of us, especially public servants, that you show up for work. And I think Minnesotans will quickly understand, and rightfully so, that if you get elected to do your work and represent the people, you got to show up. And the other second point is this. If the Democrats' main argument is you can't really do anything until you have 68 votes, and currently because of an empty seat pending a special election, it's no side has more than 67, then why can't you show up and stand behind that perspective? What are you afraid of if no business can be conducted until a 68th one side has 68 votes? And so on the one hand they're arguing you got to have 68 votes to do any business, and on the other hand they're not willing to show up. Even with one side being short of that. So it's very frustrating. It's a clown show. And I think it'll all get resolved here in the courts and when this other seat gets filled shortly through a special election.
We'll get to the courts and what has happened today, what predictably has happened today. I blame both, but I'm never a 50-50 person. It drives me nuts. So if I have to blame one side more than the other, I'm with you. I'm blaming the Democrats more because they should show up. And they shouldn't have held this swearing in secret. It's my good friend Kevin Burke who did it. Kevin was on with us the other day. He acted like it wasn't a secret. I have massive respect for Kevin, but that was done in secret. So I'm with you. Show up. I think they're also losing the PR battle because what you said and what I'm amplifying here resonates with people, Tim. People think, now, wait a second. There's a lot of parts of my job I don't like. And now you're going to be in the minority, and so you're not showing up. I think it's ticking off a lot of people, not just hardcore Republicans, but I think there are independents and Democrats who are shaking their heads at what the Democrats are doing.
Yeah, and I think also, Chad, just for no reason. So temporarily, they would have been down 67-66 if they showed up. Again, their argument, I read the Constitution just a little while ago, again, in anticipation of this show, in the Minnesota Constitution, I think it's Article 4, Section 7, although I may be off by a number or two, says that a majority of the House, a quorum is a majority of each House. And it's a little ambiguous, but, the courts are going to interpret that. But the Democrats' view is that means 68, majority of 134, which mm-hmm. is the number of seats in the House. But they won't even show up and stand behind it. So I just don't understand what they're doing. I think it's a bad PR move. I think it's a bad legal move. And it's just beneath Minnesota to have our public servants acting like, junior high kids.
So, as you know, now we have a suit, right, where the House Democrats and the Secretary of State, Steve Simon, who is a Democrat, filed lawsuits with the Supreme Court challenging what they're doing, again, on this 68-67. So you're a lawyer. Right. I mean, you know this, but we can have different interpretations. Do you believe the Secretary of State, Steve Simon, is being influenced by his party, by the fact that he is a Democrat in saying that 68 is the required number?
Well, here's what I know for sure. I don't know Steve Simon's mind, and I don't want to assign motives or put my thoughts into his brain. So I'd take a pass on that respectfully. But what the Constitution does say is that a quorum of each house of the Minnesota legislature is a majority. And that's what it says. And so people, including lawyers, can argue about what that means. Does it mean a majority of the 134, even if some of the seats aren't currently filled? Does it mean a majority of the seats that are currently legally filled? Does it mean a majority of those who are present in the chamber at the moment of the vote? And that's what the courts will decide. But if your position is you can't take action until you got 68 present to have a quorum, then stand behind that, show up, put that on the record, and then take it to the courts if you want to. But again, the big fumble here, among other things, with the Democrats is they just fail to show up. It's ridiculous.
This is the 39th governor of the state of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty. He's with us. Okay, let me talk about the Republicans, where I think they are vulnerable. Lisa Damoth, who's made herself available on this show multiple times, and I greatly appreciate that. Tim, when she is saying, I don't even care about the judicial decision on Tapke, and now it's come in, and he has been declared the winner by the judge, we'll decide if we're going to seat him or not. Isn't she wrong on that? Doesn't she have to accept the judicial decision and not say, it's up to her and the Republicans decide if they're going to seat Tapke?
There is precedent for the courts deferring to the legislature, again, within the boundaries of the Constitution and within the boundaries of state statute. And there's statutes on the Minnesota legislature as well that address some of this. But there is some precedent for the court saying we're not going to get in the middle of legislative rules fights, assuming it's within the boundaries of the Constitution statute. But I do think, to your point, the founding people for Minnesota and for our country wanted division of power, and they needed ultimate resolution of these kind of disputes. And you got to respect ultimately the court's decision, whether mm-hmm. you like it or not. Otherwise, yeah. we have chaos.
Exactly. We can't just pick and choose, because in theory, if you say that, right, if you say that, then the Republicans could say, OK, are we going to seat this person? Are we going to seat that person? Here's another one where I think Damoth has put us.
I also say, Chad, it's a lower court decision. They can appeal that. But
right.
if we're going to open the door to we're going to all get to ignore court decisions.
Yeah.
then, you know, it goes right to the issue of we're a country of a rule of law, not people, not whim, not it's not arbitrary. And once you open that door and walk down that path, then there's going to be a bunch of court decisions that you don't like, that I don't like, that half the population doesn't like. Where does that go?
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To me, if it takes 3 weeks, because that's what it looks like it's going to be approximately until we get this election, and the chances are highly, highly likely that a Democrat's going to win that seat. But until then, to me, it's not that complicated that the Republicans are in the majority, that Demas should be the speaker, and they get to pass any bills they can pass and conduct business in charge. But then if, and again, we can be surprised, but if a Democrat wins that seat and it goes back to 67-67, then to me, you go back to a power-sharing agreement when you have co-speakers. And what Demas, the point she made with me and elsewhere, it's no. If I'm speaker, I should be the speaker for the entire 2 years. Is she? Because I don't agree with that. I'm just saying for the 3 weeks, yes, but when it's 67-67, they should go back to their deal. Where do you stand?
Well, you can be speaker, according to House rule, as long as you have a majority vote of the chamber. But again, you get back into, in that context, what does that mean, a majority? And you know, are you going to have vacant seats? Is the majority of those present? So it sort of recycles those arguments. But one other thing, just stepping back to your point.
Yep.
Let's say she was speaker for a month, and the Republicans in the House passed a bunch of stuff. You know, with a Democratic-controlled Senate and a Democratic governor, they're not going to pass that, and Walz isn't going to sign it into law, and he can veto it. And,
exactly.
You know, they don't. Republicans don't have the votes to override the veto. So, again, the Democrats are holding out, not showing up, over a fiction that a bunch of bad stuff could happen. It couldn't happen from their perspective because the Senate wouldn't go along with it, and neither would the governor, and they don't have the votes to override a governor's veto anyhow. So this is all a kabuki theater to some extent. And if you look at it on the merits, I think you get back to, we can all argue about the legalities and the policy implications, and there aren't really any for the reasons I just mentioned. But it's, you got to show up. The answer to all of this is not, I don't feel like it, I'm going to boycott and pout.
Let me get to this. And obviously, you're giving your opinion, and you're more critical of the Democrats, that's clear. But you're not just fawning over Republican decisions also. The governor, who to me is way too invisible too often, who has been too detached on just normal negotiations, was really quiet until yesterday afternoon when he put out a statement and was clearly taking the House Democrats' side. Where's the balance in that? Okay, you're back in office right now, and you're giving us your view, and you think the Democrats are more to blame. How do you balance, okay, I want everybody to go back to normal point of order versus, in your case, I'm a Republican, and I think the Republicans are more correct. Where do we try to have the governor actually negotiate a deal versus, hey, guess what? I'm a Republican. I think the Republicans are more right, and I'm just going to give that opinion.
Yeah, and I think the governor could have done the state and this mess a great service by saying something like the following to the Democrats. Hey, a show up. It's just a bad look on all of us. It defies common sense to not show up. It defies the Minnesota work ethic and commitment to public service to not show up. And by the way, we can litigate this if you want, and it'll get resolved after the election, and the courts can figure this out on an expedited basis. But in the meantime, and this is Walz speaking, I got your back. If somehow something gets through this process you don't like, I'm going to veto it. I got your back. You got nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
And let's go ahead in an orderly, commonsensical way. And so then the whole argument about, you know, bad things are going to happen if we show up goes out the window. That would have been an easy fix.
The last thing, and I'll let you go. I agree with you. As long as Demas is willing to say after the 3 weeks, when it's now 67-67, that I will give up the speaker position. She shouldn't be the speaker for the 2 years.
Well, yeah, and I have to go back and look at House rules on that, Chad, before I could comment on it, because I do know from my past as a majority leader, there's a bunch of stuff in House rules that are different than statute, or at least, are not inconsistent with statute, that the courts defer to. And so I'd have to go back and look about how do you unelect a speaker?
Yeah.
And I can't reconstruct that this quickly. So I'm sorry.
Always a pleasure, sir. Stay warm when you come back here, and we'll reach out soon.
All right, pal. Take care.
Tim Pawlenty. He's excellent at this. Yeah. He's a Republican. What a shocker. You agree with him. I know you do. We've talked about this on and off air. I blame the Democrats more than the Republicans. You agree with that, right?
I do.
Yep. Dude, but you're with me on, and he's right on, and laws matter all the time. But she can't stay speaker the entire time if for 97% of it, it's tied, right?
It seems to make sense. And like he said, maybe there's something in the House rules that says that absolutely cannot happen, but
that's not possible, right?
Because I wouldn't believe it. I can't believe that would be there. So yes, once there's, and we're assuming, once there's an even 67-67 again in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your work. Now you got to share the gavel.
Yeah. Simple as that. Who do you blame more? And put a percentage on it. If you just want to say, I blame the Republicans 100%, say that. You want to say you blame the Democrats 100%. You want to say you blame the Republicans 70%, whatever. We clearly, all three of us, blame the Democrats more. And you could say, by the way, it's no surprise that Pawlenty is taking the Republican side. You just haven't listened to enough on the show. He is not afraid to criticize his party. How many times on this show and others have picked up on it, as he said, we have to change our brand?
He's basically called the Minnesota GOP a party of losers
yes,
for the last 20 years.
Constantly has criticized his party, but also is still a Republican and is proud to be Republican. But it's basically saying, hey, oh, by the way, I was the last one to win a statewide race in 06. Do something different. And by the way, he was highly critical of Trump at times, and because of that, when he ran to oppose Tim Walz, they dismissed him because he had the temerity to tell the truth.
Unmitigated gall?
Unmitigated gall, Stephen A. is here, to tell the truth about Donald John Trump. What do you want to say? You can call or text Rena in 15. So we'll get to lighter stuff. We got Patty Wedderling on Serious Matters, her book, Dear Jacob, now out in paperback. Patty's with us at 105. Jim Pete, Wolves game tonight has now been moved to 2:30 a.m.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
8:45, 8:50. I was giving serious thought to this game.
No.
Nah, the Warriors aren't the Warriors anymore. I got this thing called a couch and TV. Right there.
Those are nice.
Plus, I'd probably end up just staying at O'Donovan's and drinking the entire time, yeah. Even if I had tickets, like about half the time I do now. Who you blame it? Let's go. Whose fault is it? 651-461-9226.